assistance on that.
Yeah,
All
so
right.
if anyone needs anything, I'll be the co-host, so I'll try to help folks do stuff.
Jean is serving wine tonight, as you can see. I don't know if
Would
it's
like some, let me know. I will zoom it to you.
Yes. She can zoom you an image of the wine glass, or maybe the label of the particular vintage that she's drinking. So, all right, folks. Well, welcome tonight to the fourth quarter, the last quarter of 2023 Overleaves. And as you saw in the email, the title of which is going by, this is the period of reorienting toward and beginning to finish up 2023 in preparation for 2024. Now, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. I've got a slide thing to do tonight. And so we'll go ahead and share that. And Gene, if you see anybody else come in, please, just, maybe welcome them or what have you. But you know how the consortium works through me already, a loudmouth sage, is they just kind of keep my jowls a flapping so that there's very little possibility that I'm going to be able to, stop and deal with anyone individually. So anyway, thank you. All right, so I'll just bring Mikey in here and they'll give you their little bit of opening comments.
And mute yourselves, please, if you haven't.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming. We hope you find this presentation tonight and the information we have to you supportive on several levels. And we want to cite those levels overtly because we think it's an important reminder to help you cognitively keep aware of the map of the many layers of reality that any one of you deals with at a given time. Now, the first layer of the map, of course, is when we use the terminology of the Overleaves, Soul Ages, and many of the ideas that we have either coined or defined in terms of this teaching, we mean it, of course, how it affects you, the individual. And you, the individual, not only in understanding these labels as part of the unique configuration of self that you set up this lifetime. But when we use these labels in terms of a more fluid time period, the era, if you will, of 2023, this block of a time period that, of course, humans have defined for themselves, using, years and days and months and so forth, as their way of tracking the configuration of movement through the physical plane. And we adapt to that. And the Tao has as well by giving you these yearly commentaries about what energies are present for you to encounter and to cope with and to learn through. So, of course, again, you have an internal part. Now, the second part, of course, is the worldly aspect. The worldly aspect, we mean, of course, that whenever we use these terms, the Overleaves, Soul Ages, and the various component parts that make up the metaphysical aspects of the physical plane, you know that you're talking about the interactions between yourself and humanity at large, and or the, if you will, the antics or trends or group experiences of humanity at large. So we do so in an effort to try and help you to understand that there is, an outside of you that is happening, a group reality that is equally happening concurrently to your inner reality. Both are valid, both are, quote, true, or at least factual in the fact that they're not made up, and it's not just your perception that tracks events. What is important about your perception, and that is the greater benefit of these kinds of evenings once quarterly, is to help give you some language to help you perhaps see from a different perspective about what's going on in your perceptual states. And then maybe with some of this language system and this knowledge, help you alter your relationship to what's going on for you. So, as you can see here, we've said that reorienting is very much the energy of this scholar assimilative energy year. What's really prominent in this fourth quarter is the chief feature of stubbornness, and also the residue of the energy of the attitude of cynic, and how it affects the goal of flow and this high feminine energy context or high feminine energy fluidity that this year has been cast in. So, in this fourth year since 2020 of this great alteration, we're calling 2023 this, again, scholarly assimilative period, a period of redo for many of you. And the goal of flow has been particularly important this year, not because, first of all, as you heard us mentioned every quarter so far, this the reason we've tagged this as an assimilative energy year primarily is because you have the scholar role, you have the goal of flow, you have the mode of observation, and you have the chief feature of stubbornness. All four of those fall under the assimilative axis, so it gives us this very potentially neutral but potentially directionless orientation. In other words, in that kind of unhingedness from more of the dualistic axes of expression, action, and inspiration that have an ordinal and exalted part, it is more of a melange. And therefore, it allows the movement of pieces of your attitudes, of your emotions, your thoughts, your behaviors. A bit more latitude and flexibility to rearrange if you do so, particularly with conscious intention to it. Now, understand that doesn't mean that everyone will be conscious in their reorganization, but everyone will be feeling this dissolving energy of assimilation underneath them that will force some levels of reorientation, even if people are stubbornly resisting them. So, you see here our this graphic basically paraphrases what it is that we just said. And if you notice the way that this graphic operates, you notice it shows bidirectionality. In other words, people aren't necessarily going to expand, adapt, improve, or reorient in a way that is forward thinking. There are places inside of yourself as a percentage of the whole, but even then, you could say there are many people in this world who are working to take a step backwards because the fluidity of everything and the rapidity of change is scaring the living hell out of them. So that's why you see the duality of the arrows in this, indicating that people can go in either direction. And for those who are taking a step back, of course, let us reintroduce a phrase that you guys have all heard us say over and over again, and we mentioned it earlier. And that is to remember that what is, quote, being asked to dissolve away in human consciousness evolution is the end of the domination of the baby and young soul-oriented paradigms. And many people are holding on to that, particularly young and baby souls, but not all, because there are mature souls who are also falling back onto it, who didn't make, say, transition into their fourth internal monads, and who still cling to these old ideas and so forth. So that young soul energy is still in this tug of war with the emergent mature soul paradigm that we have talked about ever since 2021 when we introduced it at the East Coast Michael Gathering. So this reorientation is much more deliberate, and it is much more necessary for confronting these next three exalted years, 24, 25, and 26, that are about to unfold, and that will be once again put everyone into a feeling of duality, if not even feeling a sense of polarity, or at least a magnetic pull toward doing things differently. So, one of the things that we wanted to say about this year that has been so important, and many of you have had come across this on deeper levels, is a term which many metaphysical people seem to really dislike, and that's the concept of shame. Shame is an emotion that is essentially negative pole inspirational. It is also an incredible molder of human behavior and human attitudes. Now, secrets that you hide from yourself, or you believe that your ego believes you must hide from your peers or the world at large by molding your identity, is where shame is the glue. In other words, it will try to keep secrets in place, but it is such a heavy burden to carry. And like glue, that we use that term metaphorically, it literally holds them in place. So where there are secrets, where there you can definitely count on shame, and it's also where stubbornness is likely to kick in. And come up with lots of ways of not confronting those pieces in yourself. Now, many of you have been, in fact, finding out places that you have, hidden from yourself, and you have taken advantage of what we say in this second bullet point, and that is, you've really understood that letting them go only happened really, or at least advancement along that line, when they were revealed out loud and even shared. Not because they were bad or wrong or what have you, but because in order to pour solvent on that glue that shame is and lessen the chief feature strategies around the stubbornness to keep it hidden, it has to be said out loud. And that's one of the orientations of why this is a sage cast year. And if for those of you who recall, we even said that a lot of what would happen this year rather, is you would see the a lot of emphasis on what we call the hidden disclosed monad, and its paradigmatic or its archetypal structure. And there has been those kind of things, especially in the public eye, but some of you have known these things, in your own personal lives, where you've had to come out and realize that things that you had not dealt with or not faced because they had this waiting gloom on them, came to the forefront. And to understand that that's what essences wanted, one of the major things that it wanted out of this year. Because the intellectual center and the emotional part, and the emotional part, by the way, is what's really, really being featured in this last quarter. The only way to be able to get through that and to feel the actual lightness that can come about when you truly have faced, a shame is then to go through the act of forgiveness, that emotional, self-blessing and relief that of a thought, an act of an event, or even a previous position you've taken. Because if you can, then those emotions can lift and then even further help you or allow you to reorient. So many have been experiencing this last of this beginning of this autumn event as actually feeling quite lighthearted and somewhat in relief of the first three quarters of the year, where the goal of flow actually shifted over in the first half of the year and acted through the goal of discrimination, which, as many of you know, can team up with the intellectual center and be excruciatingly picky. And when you put that under and combine it with the attitude of cynic, you run a razor's edge of feeling cut and hurt even by your own discoveries. Because the cynic, when armed with self-confrontation and having an edge of self-blame, can really be cutting. And people don't want to feel bad about themselves. That's a natural ego defense. That is not a wrong thing and it's not a bad thing. But what it does do is again, it can send people back into the spiral of their other chief features. Because remember, stubbornness is the assimilative axis. And so for many of you, that particular kind of energy is very much the old soul kind of chief feature of self-deprecation. So if some of you feel tired or a bit worn out or a bit humbled by this year, including the feeling of this year that you weren't able to get as much done as you wanted to, because the nature of so many of these overleaves are they created, eddies of non-movement. Flow doesn't always mean that there is a current available for you to jump in and move with. Sometimes flow is stagnation, meaning you're jumping in to a pond of your own beingness, and there is nothing pushing you there. So it means you have to exert yourself, carry on the metaphor. You have to swim or float, or sometimes feeling like you're sinking. So, in an effort to address that with you all, we wanted to do a little visualization for you that we hope, with this autumnal coming to closure kind of seasonal energy, helps you to not just reorient, but also make some resolutions for yourself, and also allow some things that are still in process to be in a container, a thought container. Not to block it off or not to pretend it's not there, but rather a thought container that will allow you to see it more clearly and have conscious intentionality about. So we invite you all to work with us and to allow us to just surround you in the loving presence of all of our combined entities together. We, the energy of Michael, Bartholomew, Philip, Lydia, Dequela, all of us who work together now in this combined place, surround you in our love and light and offer you direct connection whenever and however you need it. And we'd like you to breathe into yourself. And with each inhalation, allow yourself to feel the very edge of your skin expanding into the edges of your auric field, meaning moving out beyond the limits that you know of your physical being. And with each breath, allowing yourself to move into an additional realm, an additional acceptance, an additional stream of consciousness, an additional but concurrent state of awareness. And with all your sensors, sight, sound, touch, and intuition all amplified to their most comfortable and yet effective degree for this evening. And with all those receptors open and available, we invite you to consider this first idea and allow to come to the surface these first awarenesses. What is it that you would like to let go of? And have let go of means to forgive yourself or another person. Allow those things to come into your awareness now. And as those thoughts, images, voices, or simply senses of presence, whatever that is, send it off with love and your blessing, relinquishing it back to the Tao, where it becomes free energy again. And that space is returned and opened, now available for you. And next, from that expanded space, what are you grateful for? What is it that gives you a sense of appreciation for your life, yourself, the circumstances you're in? What makes you want to give thanks? To generate and exude that expanded vibration of gratitude. And let them come to the surface of your awareness. As many or as few, whatever they are all perfect and just right for you this evening. And in that gratitude, share that energy into the Tao, spreading it outward from every pore in your being, sending it into the universe, raising the vibration not only of yourself, but of all beings who can receive the nectar of that blessed emanation. And as this inflates you and empowers you and raises your vibration, now is the time for you to encapsulate but become aware of what are those things that you take into the darkness of the coming season. As the days get shorter, as the year comes to a close in its final quarter, what is it that is still gestating within you? What questions or aspirations? Not yet done, not yet answered, not yet perhaps even known, but somewhat formulated, that are in process, that are still in flow, that you wish to put together in a care package and know that you bring this into that time, that space, into the unknown, that it can emerge later. With those thoughts, those questions, those concerns, those curiosities, imagine them being put into a cocoon, so that they will metamorphose as you go through this time. And you can check on their process throughout this time. But know that they are mending, amending, and emerging on their own. And so, with the awareness of that release, that grace, and that encapsulation, allow yourself to breathe your auric field, condensing all that energy back into yourself. Bringing it closer into your body, into your being. When you feel complete with that, we'll come back into the room. And if anyone has moved to share any of their experiences or any of the feelings or awarenesses they had, you are welcome to do so. We'll just take a few, but you are all welcome. If you feel more desirous to just be quiet and sit with it, then by all means, that as well. So this next slide is about some of what has been the outgrowth for our assignment that we gave you this year. We said read, research, study, clarify. Intake information, either reinforce the knowledge you have, and we emphasize knowledge, not information, but knowledge, that which you actually know by deepening it. But also be very clear about what things mean to you. Because the scholar, so much, and the scholar influence on human beings is very much imparted by having a clear sense of definition, a clear understanding of what something really means. And why this is important has to do with the second half of that sage casting of this year. Because when definitions are clear, communications can be much more empowering and potent because you're not dealing with two broadly vague kinds of notions and concepts. And then this way, real communication, effective communication can happen between people. And when effective communication happens, then not only can you find where there's synergy, but also you can find equally as important where there's difference. Because differences are discrimination goals, useful compare and contrast mechanisms to help expand one's perspective and understanding. Now, some of you have already read this little cartoon we brought up, and of course, it's playing on the notions of wordplay, and it's playing on the notion of people having sometimes misunderstanding, and also sometimes being having a sophisticated understanding of things and others not. And we thought humorously that this cartoon portrayed it really importantly. You notice the two door labels or words on each door, a china shop, and there's a bull entering it, and then a candy store, and there's a goat entering it, a little goat. And some of you know that a little goat is called a kid. So the understanding here is, and the point we're trying to make here is the use of human euphemisms, excuse me, and or metaphors or analogies are fun and wistful and often can communicate a lot, but they can also be misleading and or sometimes just misunderstood because a person may not have a grasp of the deeper meaning of those things. So in this year, you've been invited to try and not dumb down, but pare down your meanings to their essentials so that clear communications between peoples can be made. One of the other elements of this year that we spoke of with a high degree of alert to all of you has to do with the fact that many of these overleaves would, for most of you, cause you to experience what we call time distortions. Now, we reiterated and we'll bring in again one of the reasons the time distortions are so prevalent right now is not just the assimilative overleaves, but because you are in a time period, an era that will use Susanna Redelf's terminology of the chaos nodes, and it doesn't really stop or really come to its climax where things begin to fixate and take on new directions until the end of 2024. One of the things that's going on in there is that is you are being asked, challenged to become aware more of how you utilize your time of life. Because, ladies and gentlemen, time as measured on the physical plane is real. It is not an illusion. It is not a delusion. It is not something to escape from. It is something to acknowledge that your very bodies, by circadian rhythms, are programmed to operate by. So, paying attention to how you utilize your time means you also pay attention to how you utilize your energy, and it causes you to be able to see what you are doing with your available personal resources. And all of that has been a message that if you go into this dark period, take as much time as you can for self, of self, but not necessarily by yourself alone. When need be, yes, but the mutuality that we described earlier this year and then earlier tonight about the mature soul era is key about how you spend your time. And one of the ways in the end of this period is making the new connections, because of course, many of you have noted that in this assimilative year, a lot of old connections, both to people, to things, to habits, allegiances to ways of being have dropped off. And so it's not about having to fill the gap. It's about rather noticing which ones are really present and have demand on you. Now, we want to enter a subject area that we think is really significant and We're introducing it by referring back to the lunar body type issue that we mentioned at the beginning of the year, that for most of you, especially those of you who are, mid-level baby boomers, to call that generation, and even those of you, who are the Gen Xers, who are right on their heels, is this was an important year to become really aware of the importance of dealing with your bodies, offering yourself the best health care. And we're not only talking about your health care system and doctors and all that kind of thing, but we mean health care in the sense of really good self-care. And then facing illnesses that are, present both in your environment, that good self-care would require paying attention to and being preventative of, but also being really cautious about the way you use your energy when in the presence of illness. Now, illness not only means colds like COVID or pneumonia or that sort of thing, obviously, folks. Several of you have had different types of conditions that you've been dealing with. And we just want to remind you that the really the big issue here is that the lunar body type is the foundation body type of them all. It is the server, the infant soul. It is the first one in order. So everybody coming back to that first layer is really important. That first ordinal inspirational, it is self-love in action. Because one of the things that this Young Soul Society helped to program all of you about was to suck it up, overcome, hurry up, get forward, not pay attention to body. Oh, because if you did, it must mean you're a hypochondriac or some sort of thing like that. And those messages have now come up against, for most of you, what we're now terming a new concept that we've not introduced before. But we're calling it, and it, by the way, we're borrowing it from modern vernacular out there. And that is that this is the third chapter of most of your lives. Now, these chapters, first chapter, second chapter, third chapter, also contain within them, and we can superimpose, if you will, the internal monads, which many of you know is a euphemism specific to our teaching. But might also be called, milestones in a life. Well, those milestones, as well as these three chapters that we're talking about, the first chapter of a life is the truth orientation of the three legs of the Tao itself. The first chapter being truth oriented and expression oriented. When you come into life acquiring some knowledge and some sense of identity of who you are, you begin to formulate the way that you present yourself, both in appearance, but also in terms of what you say and or don't say. The second chapter is that more externalized. It's the energy leg, and therefore the action axis of your life chapters. It is the most active for most of you because it is taking your self-expression and putting it into an energy projection, interacting with the world, both creating, co-creating, manifesting, acquisition of resources, and if lucky, of course, acquiring more energy than you are expending. And of course, as you all know, in this change of paradigm between young and mature soul era, that has become a harder and harder proposition for many. So, the third chapter, many of you who have come out of your fourth internal monads and are working on either the completion of or the passage of your fifth internal monad, also saying you're entering past your 60s or into your 60s, you are in your third and yes, even final chapter of this incarnation. And this represents the period that we would call the love or inspirational time of your life. It is about looking and reorganizing all of your values, all of those core, really important pieces to the self, and putting those first and foremost in your life to be lived. Now, for a number of people, and we will be putting some of this text up on the web following this presentation this evening, we refer to an article in the Atlantic Magazine that talks about this very phenomena and how many a person, especially many young and mature, but even early old souls, some of you in this group, who naturally being brought up and raised in a young soul culture, tended to place so much of yourself and your energies in the identity of your profession, of your work life, trying to accumulate, looking toward to this area, this era, but being so caught up into organizing your time, your energy, your way of being around a work, around a career, around the title of an identity, of a profession or a thing that you do, that many of you, when you disengage from it, find yourself in a period of disorganization or disorientation. And so there are many people out there, including many of you here, who are still going through that reorientation. This is not about you just entering retirement and doing the thing that too often people did when they hit retirement and they had no other identity emerging from themselves, chose to die and leave the physical plane. So, as you see down underneath it, your care package is also to remember that death is inevitable, but it is not that you have to just sit around in this third chapter waiting for death. On the contrary, in this love inspirational period, it's about turning loose your energy to be the freest, truest you you can be, with the alteration of your behaviors and attitudes toward raising your vibration and the vibration of others. And one of the ways that you can sustain that, however, and need to, is by rigorous self-care and personal health care. That is the way you radiate that vibration out into the world. Now, the difficulty that the world faces, and we realize that many of you, always, or at least much of this year, have been really keen to talk about. We are going to talk about it in much greater depth. Many of you know that through Stephen, we define the four realms of existence: the angelic realm, the earther or material realm, which is where you all are living through, the fairy realm, and then what we call the techno realm. And these realms have their incursions all simultaneously, but some can dominate at in given years and in given times. And what's been happening to humanity is the increased dependency of humanity on the techno realm energy that has allowed a further incursion that has taken away the empowerment of mathematics, logical thinking, and quantification, which are the positive poles, if you will, of the technological realm, and instead embraced, because of the amplification of the importance of money, hierarchy, status, the negative poles or the negative influence of the techno realm, of which computer technology, robotics, and the increase substitution of human energy for automation. Now, why this is important is because it is a assimilative energy that disconnects humans in a way that can either cause you to drift or lead you to, and we are giving you this as a direction, reformation of connections with each other. What has been happening, and what we see if, continues to be of concern, is that it is not that artificial intelligence as hyper, broad-based speech, large-scale databases is bad. There are many who sing its praises because it can be a tool to assist creativity. But where we have greater concerns about it is in this particular set of realms. And the first one is that AI is being used by the young soul oriented mentality to glorify itself and to try and convince users out there that it's this wonderful thing. And yet AI, whether you call that online help, and these virtual assistants and what have you, continue to shield you from human to human interaction. And you know that many of you have felt frustrated already by things like phone trees, like, our menu options have just changed, to listen further, press, so that you're having to spend 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 minutes going through these ever more frustrating degrees of pre-qualifiers that are really actually designed to delay interaction between a paid person and you, trying to take you to a website where you do it yourself, even though many of these services, whether government or private, you have paid for either with taxes or your fees. And why that is a simple, capitalistic, greed-driven, young soul motive. It does not improve efficiency to anyone but to them. And it increases for most of you, not all of you, but most of you, your levels of frustration and alienation. The problem with this techno realm incursion and reliance on AI is this substitution factor. And as we say here on the third bullet point, artificial intelligence really never interacts with you. It manages you by its narrowing of your options by the keywords that it's telling you to choose amongst. And that is not a conversation. That is not empowering you as a user. That is actually causing you to be pigeonholed. Now, the greatest thing that we are concerned about AI is not its wonderful and amazing contributory potential for helping people gain creativity, but rather, ladies and gentlemen, that many of you don't realize that because this is machine languaging and machine access to machine memory and machine storage, it can do it all simultaneously. And why that's important for you to know is while the human brain is still far more complex, it is not as fast and it does not have the kind of multi-level parallel processing or consciousness, simultaneous consciousness, that a human is limited to. And therefore, when you're talking about the potential for large language database AIs, is that they can and will, quote, outthink you. And that is really important because these are being deployed by large power groups of humans, or excuse me, large power, but few number of humans, to once again increase this division amongst the human race. AI in and of itself is the tool that's doing this, but it is who and why it's being deployed that is the real concern that we have. The effect on human beings ha goes to the last issue. As humans rely more on computers and have in these last two generations, starting about mid-level of what's being called Generation X, but certainly in what was called their following group called the Millennials, and absolutely in Generation Z, is that the reliance on these things have dulled down manual skills and those very brain processing, as inefficient as they may be, very brain processing orientations that many many of you be excuse me old souls, but who are baby boomers, had to learn by rote. So doing your arithmetic times tables or divisions or fractions, many of you can do that in your head, but you see many people who are of younger generations, and sadly many of the people even of your own generation who were either stifled in their education or didn't get as good a one as you did, having to rely on what's on the screen for them doing these basic level kind of computations. And that's a dumbing down of the race that is not good for the race. So it is something to take note of why we suggest and encourage that for those of you who are children or grandchildren or even yourselves, those of you who play, what is it called? The number games, that are popular in, that allow you to keep exercising your mind, are useful for your brain stimulation. Also, a lot of the things that you do hand to eye, some of you here are sewers, some of you here work with electronics, that is to say, actually playing with them, and not just playing a video game, but actually putting together machines or working on cars or doing woodwork. All of these are extremely valuable, and we encourage you to do these things with your children and grandchildren and bring them to these. The third bullet point we make is because the brain itself needs to slow down from trying to match the machine time scale that is being imposed on the human race. If you wonder why anxiety and depression are at an all-time high, as well as when you talk about external effects, is because decisions are being made at such fast paces that most people are trying to keep up with them in their work levels. And by doing manual tasks, you are much more likely to get a sense of real time, which then will trigger your brain chemistry to release things like serotonin or oxytocin, which will increase that feeling of satisfaction and enjoyment. But it will also help counteract the stress levels that cause anxiety and aggression, like cortisol and adrenaline, to decline. Now, the last part, of course, is what you've been hearing for the last 40 years with every exercise guru out there. But we're not even talking about an exercise program or going to the gym. We're just saying things like sweeping your own floor, vacuuming yourself. Literally going and wiping down your windows. Those kind of manual work exercises, digging in your garden like Joe Bates does, hoeing weeds, and so on and so forth. All of those things are very important because in exercising your muscles, you are stimulating that, and the vagus nerve then can experience more of an overall distribution of the calm throughout your body. Now, of course, when we're talking about this third chapter of life, all of you know that many of you have concerns about this thing that has become a scourge as it has become more popularly mentioned and spoken about, and that is to say, Alzheimer's and dementia. And one of the things that is one of the self-feedback loops that happens is as people get more sedentary and they fail to use those manual tools, your body being the first one, is that it is liable to increase any and all of that kind of feedback loop within yourself. So that the idea that you see in AARP and or in many of these public service messages is just keep acting. And by acting, we're not talking about pretending, but we're talking about taking actions that challenge you. Now, you've heard us spoken, and we're shifting gears to talk about stubbornness here and acting and risk-taking and this notion of liminal space-time. This period of time can be a rich harvest of being in the present more than you've ever known before, because you have fewer deadlines. And yes, pun intended. And you have probably fewer real obligations other than maintenance, but you're also your voluntary goals, not ones that necessarily you rely on to keep your body and life and material well-being together. So risk-taking is putting yourself out in new and different ways that allow you to experience this liminal space-time, which is liminal space means present time. And not knowing what the next step is going to be is part of the journey. They don't have to be big leaps between rocks like this. They don't have to be yawning chasms that you're leaning, jumping over. But it doesn't mean that you also pretend fear away, or nor that you do preparation in whatever you're going to do, but act with a little courage. Act with a little momentum and self-guidance. Because what stubbornness wants to tell you, the chief feature of stubbornness, is that any movement beyond the familiar, beyond the known, beyond the habituated, is somehow going to cost you. It's going to put you at risk instead of having the potential payoff of taking a risk and reaping the rewards of it. It's all stubbornness is a form of fear that says, I won't be able to cope with anything new. I won't be able to change, so I don't want to change. And I'll let the world change around me. Now, the one of the downsides and ways that boredom can show itself in the negative pole of obstinance and rigidity, of course, is absolute boredom. And when boredom sets in, belligerence often follows close at hand, because that's when you feel that joie de vivre, that spice of life, that taste of being alive and enjoying it, slip away into the bitterness and resentment of feeling like life has passed you by, when in fact you are not allowing yourself to take some actions of enjoyment that give you something back. And whether that's getting on a Zoom call with a group like this, or calling up a local store and finding out when they're open, or just going out to tea somewhere and then striking up a conversation with a person next to you. If that person can't converse back, the courage is to not make it about yourself and then strike up a conversation with someone else. So the prescription then, in this going into the darkness, is to find someone to remind you that you are brave and that you can have courage. Because fear is not a sin and it's not a crime and it's not a character flaw. It is an inevitable and present part of being on the physical plane. It is part of the training wheels here. So, it is the fear of fear that you have heard us decry often. If you get afraid of fear, which is another way of saying you think your chief feature is either running you, or you think the strategies to avoid that it's offering you are a good idea, then Then, ladies and gentlemen, that is what cowardice is. Cowardice is a choice to deny that a situation requires some kind of counteraction on your part. And so the best way to cope with this for the remainder of this year, but also this coming year, is to interact yourself and network yourself with as much support around you, with people to help you to remind yourself you are brave and you can do things, no matter how small. But if they give you resistance, find someone to help you with that. So, some of the other energies that we'll talk about, we don't need this, excuse me, we don't need this PowerPoint for, so we'll turn this off. And we'll offer a few other things, just by way of how you might cope and deal with this year, or with the remainder of this year. We already mentioned about you having, let's see, is my, oh good, okay, so you can all hear me, correct? For those of you, oh very good, all right. We were worried that somehow we went on mute. In any case, for the remainder of this year, and we've already talked about mutuality, we also want to tell you that one of the things that is about this reorientation is, and a scholar in flow is, it's literally about flushing your toilets. It's about getting, clearing out all that is as that feels like a weight or bogged down around you that is bringing you, any kind of things that's taking your attention away from your life. And the reason that that's useful is because when you go into 2024, the more that you have that you have not dispensed with, the more it's going to feel really weighty to you. Now, we've been telling you that of course that message for quite some time, but we want to just say it's going to become more important because in fact the other side of the coin is getting a handle on your acquisitions. You were all raised in the young soul paradigm of individualism and capitalism, and the acquisition of wealth was drummed into all of you. And wealth not only meant money, but it meant stuff. And remember, stuff is just energy that is dense. And if it's stuff that you are not using, then you have dense energy that's around you like a weight. The other part of that is then begin to really look at, what do you still acquire? What do you still acquire? Because you also spend a lot of your energy, oftentimes going after things, experiences, moods, and what have you, that take energy from you that you could otherwise be used doing different things. So we just want to leave it on that, and we're going to then give you guys the rest of the time this evening to ask any questions. And if you'd like, we could break this up and take a few minute break, or we could allow you to launch right into questions. So I saw Janaea at least giving us a very affirmative and very strong head nod. When we mentioned the word break. So I'll tell you what, it on according to our time, it's 6:15. So that gives us about 45 minutes. How about if we take a 5 minute break, come back, and we will entertain your questions, or you will be entertained by our answers, hopefully. So we're going to pause and we'll see you in five. So go take care of yourself.